Welcome back to HealthLink On Air, brought to you each week by SUNY Upstate Medical University, making the academic difference in healthcare in the Central New York community. And this is your host, Tricia Torrey, every patient's advocate. This morning, we're going to consider medical specialties. Now, you know, you've heard me as every patient's advocate, and you've heard others on the show talk about the importance of finding doctors who are board certified. But, you know, we've never really talked about what that means. What's board? What certification? Well, it turns out that one of the best people to give us some of those best answers and clarifications is right here in Central New York at SUNY Upstate. Dr. John McCabe, professor and chair of emergency medicine, who recently joined us here on HealthLink On Air to talk about medical student exchange programs, also sits on the executive board of the American Board of Medical Specialties. They're the ones who oversee certification in these specialties. Good morning, Dr. McCabe.
Good morning.
So we're pleased you could return so quickly. This is an important topic for those of us who are interested in making sure we see the right specialist to help us battle our medical problems. Now, you heard me allude to information I give to patients about finding the best doctor for their medical problem. I tell them to find doctors who are board certified, but I don't even know exactly what that means. So can you tell us?
Sure. A board certified physician, and we're talking here about the boards underneath the ABMS. So an ABMS board certified physician.
And that's American Board of Medical Specialties.
Is a physician who has trained in a specialty. So they've gone through a residency training program in a particular specialty. And at the end of that, they've demonstrated their competency to practice in that specialty through a series of examinations that are administered by the board specific to their specialty.
Okay.
So for instance, in emergency medicine, my specialty, I would train for 3 or 4 years after medical school. Then I would take a written examination. And if I was successful there, I would take an oral examination. After that, I would be board certified by the American Board of Emergency Medicine.
And that would mean you could then go out to practice in an emergency department probably somewhere, and people would know you were a board certified, and you'd have what, some initials behind your name?
Well, sometimes yes, sometimes no. Typically, I'd have a certificate that says I'm board certified. Many hospitals won't let you come and practice unless you're in the process or you've become board certified. So you really have to think about how a physician practices in a hospital on three levels. One is licensure. Mm-hmm. So the state of New York would give me a license to practice. The second is certification. The American Board of Emergency Medicine would say, I've demonstrated the competencies to be a good emergency physician. And the third would be the hospital would credential me. They would look at my background, my medical school graduation, my license, my certification, and say, you can come and practice emergency medicine in this institution.
All right. Now, that all takes place as you finish your education. So you get your license, and then how often does a license renew?
A license, depending on the state, renews every couple of years, every 2 or 3 years.
All right. And then how often are you recertified by the board?
Well, this is something that's in flux, and this is one of the big changes in board certification in the last 5 years. So let me take you back a few years. 10 years ago or 15 years ago, most physicians who became board certified got a piece of paper they hung on their wall, and it said they're board certified for life.
And they didn't ever have to do anything else?
Didn't have to do anything else.
Hmm.
Then there was a period of time, and American Board of Emergency Medicine was one of the leaders in this, and we said that makes no sense. There ought to be some mechanism for people to redemonstrate their certification.
Well, absolutely, because really your whole environment changes every couple of years. Just technology changes it.
Absolutely. So most boards, in fact, all boards, put in place a recertification process, but that was really just an exam. So for me, every 10 years, I've had to retake a written examination on the broad field of emergency medicine to demonstrate I still have a knowledge base there. And then many of us in ABMS said, well, you know what, that really isn't all that much of a guarantee to the public either, because what I've done for the last 10 years isn't really embodied in that recertification. So we've now undergone a process where we've moved to what's called maintenance of certification. And the idea is once I'm certified, then I have to demonstrate and continue to demonstrate those competencies on a regular basis.
And those would be like?
So there are four parts. The first is that I have to be a physician in good standing, which means my license has to be good. I have to have no professional kinds of actions against me, ethical charges. charges, things like that.
Well, I'm glad to know that's in place.
The second is that I have demonstrated my commitment to lifelong learning and self-assessment. So as my field changes, I'm keeping up, I'm changing.
So that's your continuing education component.
That's continuing education in some point. The third is that periodically I still have to demonstrate I know what I know. So there is a periodic examination that I have to pass. It depends on the specialty, every 6 to 10 years.
Is that examination something that you're taking pencil to paper, or is that something like this is a wound in the emergency department and you need to stitch it up?
It's a pencil paper exam, and they've all moved now to computer-based testing. So I take a day-long examination in a computer center.
So, you do? Okay, yeah. So it's not like they're watching you.
No, and but that brings us to the fourth part, which is what we call a practice performance assessment.
Uh-huh.
And the idea there is that I have to demonstrate my outcomes, and I have to prove that I'm trying to improve them. So around whatever topics each of us as different specialists do every day, we have to show that we do it well and that we're working to improve how we do it. And that's the newest component of maintenance of certification. And those four parts, physicians are going to have to continuously demonstrate all the time to keep their board certification.
Now, is that for all the certifications that are overseen by the American Board of Medical Specialties, or is that just emergency medicine?
No, it's for all. So the American Board of Medical Specialties oversees the what we call the 24 primary boards: medicine, surgery, pediatrics, urology, radiology, and then within that, the subspecialty boards: cardiology, pulmonary medicine, infectious disease. There's a whole host of them.
Yes, there are.
And the American Board of Medical Specialties, if you will, sets the high-level rules, and then each board interprets for their own specialties. So, for instance, how I might demonstrate that I'm a good doctor is a little bit different than, say, how an ophthalmologist might do it.
Mm-hmm.
But the basic principle of what we're trying to accomplish should be the same for all specialties.
So that raises a question, because not all doctors are board certified. Does that mean we can't assume that they have the same kinds of competencies? It's easy for you to say.
Well, sure. This is a difficult question. Can you automatically assume that someone who's not board certified is no good or doesn't have the competencies? Well, of course not.
No, of course not.
But it does mean that they've not proven that or demonstrated that to the same level that someone who is board certified has proven. So in that sense, it's... you know, as a patient, you know less about that provider.
Yes, that's true. You do. And then the question is, every time I see a doctor says he's board certified or she's board certified, does that mean that the board they're talking about is a member of this American Board of Medical Specialties?
No, not necessarily. So that makes it even more complicated. So the 24 primary boards, the specialties we'd all think of, and their subspecialties are the ones we're talking about. There are a whole host of other boards that sit out there in a kind of a medicine environment, sometimes around very specific procedures or specific diseases, like, say, the Board of Cosmetic Surgery.
Okay.
Well, that's not an ABMS board. And they don't operate under the same stringent criteria of the ABMS boards. So again, it's a board certification, but you as a patient may not know quite as much about that doctor as you could expect from an ABMS board certified physician.
And you know, that's actually, it brings up a good point. One of the things over time I've done with patients when they say they need a doctor, and I say board certified is important, and I send them to the ABMS website so they can find what that list is, link to that board. But you're saying now that there are some boards that won't link from there, and they may or may not have the same requirements for that credential?
Sure. And I think if you think about how does a physician become ABMS board certified, it's through demonstrating their commitment to training first through a residency. That's a long period of time under very strict rules and under lots of observation by their faculty. Some of the boards that exist out there certify people after very brief courses, maybe even a weekend of training.
A weekend. So they can call themselves board certified after a weekend of training?
Sometimes that's true in very specialized or procedures. So it's not the broad range, and it doesn't have the quality control. And again, it's people have to remember that doesn't make someone bad.
Mm-hmm.
It simply says, I may not know as much about them as I would for someone who's gone through an ABMS board process.
Right. We
That's
know
the
that
difference.
The standard is at a different place.
They did something, but I don't really know what they did.
You're not
sure.
The
standard's not the same.
You know, then I guess it begs the question, if I'm a patient, I can't really access this information, and I can't really make an assessment on my own. If someone is certified by a board that's part of the ABMS, fine, that's helpful. But if they're not, and if it's a specialty I need, how am I supposed to get this information about whether or not that board is any good?
Yeah, I think that comes back to the concept of patients having a medical home and a primary care physician who they trust, who's ABMS board certified, and that's the person who should help them sort out. It's hard enough for patients to get through the 24 ABMS boards, much less the hundreds of other ones that exist. So I think that's really where their trusted medical professional helps them.
I think you're right. So there are 24 members of the ABMS. Are there more on the horizon? I know some of them are fairly new. Of the 24, are there going to be 28 or are there going to be 52? Do you know? Do you have any sense?
I would say the 24 primary boards are pretty well set. There hasn't been a new one in a number of years. The two most recent new ones were the American Board of Medical Genetics and the American Board of Emergency Medicine.
Really?
So now there are some new subspecialties, and the 24 boards now more and more are cooperating. Especially in places where care crosses between boards. And I'll give you an example. There's a new board that's called the American Board of Hospice and Palliative Medicine. And that actually crosses, obviously, medicine, surgery, pediatrics. And so that's a joint board. So we're seeing more and more kind of cooperative joint boards, but very few new primary boards. There really aren't new primary level specialties emerging in medicine.
Well, and not only that, I think we're, you know, one of the themes we hear so often is that there are so few generalists compared to the number we actually need to have in this country. I can't imagine they have time to be sorting out new boards when their patient load is probably so huge.
That's true.
Yeah, that's true. Going to surgeons, because that's always a question, is about surgeons. Surgeons are also, they're certified in different ways as well, aren't they?
Sure. I mean, and some of that's historical. So there are surgeons, say a colon and rectal surgeon. Well, that's a whole separate primary board. But a vascular surgeon is a subspecialty of general surgery.
And so they might, when patients are going to look for this information at the ABMS site, they might find that the board is its own thing, or they might find it's a subspecialty. They have to look really closely to make sure they're all there, don't they?
That's true, but remember that the person who is subspecialty boarded, for instance, a cardiologist or a vascular surgeon, is first boarded certified in their primary specialty.
I see.
So the route to becoming, say, a pediatric cardiologist and being board certified in that is through pediatrics first, then extra training and separate and additional board certification in that subspecialty.
Wow. It is confusing for patients, but I like your advice. Go back to your trusted family doctor who's also board certified and ask that question.
I think that's the best advice. And also, the ABMS website is really a good site for people to begin to try to unravel and understand the board process.
Very good. Well, Dr. John McCabe, this has been an excellent discussion about specialties. I understand it better, and I thank you so much for your time this morning.
My pleasure. Thank you.
And listeners, we do need to take a break. Please stay with us. We'll be back in just a few moments. This is SUNY Upstate's HealthLink on Air on 570 WSYR.